Welcome back. It's Rufus Williams here on The Morning Show. Excited to have my next two guests join us. It's Tasha Green Cruzat and State Representative Camille Lilly to give us an update on racial equity notes. Good morning, Tasha. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. How are you, Rufus?
I'm doing good.
Good morning. Good morning, Rufus. Good morning, Tasha.
Glad to have you both here. Representative Lilly, you don't come on often enough. We got to figure that part out.
I'm a quiet legislator.
There's no such thing. It does not. I've been in Springfield. I've been in City Hall. I've been in Washington. It simply does not exist. It's a fallacy. Tasha,
I'll be happy to come on.
Because you're here, and we're going to keep you. Let's talk about these racial equity notes. Remind us of what they are.
Okay, so Rufus, a year ago today, Governor Pritzker signed into law House Bill 158, and I want to thank the Illinois Black Caucus for passing such an important measure for this state. But within House Bill 158 contained the groundbreaking legislation called the Racial Impact Note Act. And under this act, a legislator may request a state agency or board to prepare a statement or to prepare notes on any pending legislation that could negatively impact racial and ethnic minorities. So it's a valuable tool for having legislators look more closely to examine any potential harm that a legislation could do with respect to racial and ethnic inequities. But it also recognizes that it could benefit, right? It could recognize a benefit to a bill that may eliminate inequities. And so only a handful of states have such measures, but Illinois has one of the nation's most comprehensive statutes creating this requirement. Connecticut, New Jersey, Maine, Virginia, they have similar statutes, but they may only pertain to a certain subject area, such as criminal justice reform. But Illinois' law is broad-based, and it doesn't limit the subject area or which agencies are required to produce this note. So if an agency is requested to produce the racial impact note and they cannot ascertain the impact of the proposed legislation on existing and ethnic inequities, then the act requires that agency just state it, right? Just say, look, we cannot provide this note. But they have to explain why. So that is the core requirement of this act. But it's important, Rufus, to have the General Assembly use this Racial Impact Note Act, because race and ethnicity should always be a part of a discussion on legislative matters for this state, right?
Yeah, it's amazing that this conversation follows the last one that I had, which was about diverse democracies and what needs to happen within diverse democracies. But as you mentioned, Tasha, this was signed into law a year ago, and it was sponsored by Representative Lilly and Senator Mattie Hunter. So a year later, Representative, how's it going? How's it being implemented? How are we seeing it working?
Well, thank you, Rufus, for having us on, and it is important that we reflect annually on the policies that we're implementing here in Illinois. And as you know, this was a part of the Legislative Black Caucus pillar, Health and Human Service pillar. And as Maddie and I dealt with all of the concerns of quality of life here in Illinois, we really kept coming back to the fact that there were inequities. And what was glaring, and through the efforts of Tasha and the group, the Children Advocacy for Change group, we really thought it was important to address policy with a racial equity lens. And a year later, we introduced this piece of legislation, or two bills that I know of, to ask members to provide that racial impact note. Unfortunately, we need more education on why this is important, not only for the members of the General Assembly, but also for the staff, to make sure they understand the importance and how to implement this, the information and the note. What we're going to do as we address this is to continue to work with groups like PASHA to make sure that we are on point and learning, getting learning from best practices. Maddie and I know how critical this is for the healthcare sector in our society, but it's also critical for the economic growth in the minority community. So we have more work to do, but I am proud to have introduced this along with the Maddie and the General Assembly, where everyone voted for this. And we must make sure that in our reforms, that our policies are not what we call causing more harm to our marginal community, our marginalized communities. And unfortunately, it's going to take more than 1 year to get there.
So Dr. Tasha Green Cruzat, and I'm sorry I didn't give you your proper title in the introduction.
No problem.
You know, these things are earned, so we should make sure that we acknowledge them as such. Dr. Cruzat, you did this as part of the Children's Advocates for Change. Talk about why this is so important as it relates to children and the issues that you see in the work that you do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, first of all, Rufus, I think that it's important to really point out that the racial impact note gives us all an opportunity to have a platform, a place, an environment for the public to have these conversations. So not just around criminal justice or housing, but, you know, even when we talk about, you know, our children in poverty, you know, I think, as you know, that the numbers are very stark when it comes to our children in poverty, and I'm sorry I don't have the statistics in front of me, and so I don't want to quote, but I can tell you that when we look at, you know, who is impacted the most in terms of who is living in poverty, we're talking about our black and brown children, right? And we're talking about, you know, many of our children being in poverty, and so when we think about how our children get there, it's important to understand what is impacting the communities in which they live. You know, are, you know, do we still have some policies and practices that continue to hold our children back, that, you know, where they don't progress in school, you know, or anything impacting them having to do with health? You know, what policies, you know, are racist, right? You know, or maybe unintended. Maybe it's not intended to be racist, but, you know, however, that may come about depending on what we have on our books. So it's important that we continue to do this work, have these conversations. We know that our children are our most valuable assets because they are coming up and they're going to be taking care of us. And so we want to make sure that there is equity, that children have what they need to be safe, healthy, and well-educated. And if we don't have the policies to do that, and if we're not looking at our work with the racial equity lens, then we have missed it. We're missing it. We cannot continue to have this conversation without injecting race and ethnic equity. It should always be a part of the discussion so that we can really get to the core issues and problems that our children are facing here in Illinois.
And Representative Lilly, when Dr. Cruzat made a really fine point in the recognition of making sure that we don't unintentionally harm people that we're looking to help. And that's what really makes this important, right?
That is correct. The statistics that Dr. Cruzat are speaking to, in 2020, the federal poverty level for children under the age of 18, 9.2% in Illinois were white, non-Hispanic. 36.3% for Illinois, for African-American children and 17.9% for Hispanic and Latino. Those are just scary statistics when it comes to persons living in poverty, in this case, children. And if we do not put this lens in front of us now, the future for these children are bleak, or will be bleak.
Indeed.
And that's why this legislation is so important to hone in today, refine today, and continue to make this a main thread in our society as we create quality of life for all Illinoisans.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Tasha Green Cruzat of the Children's Advocates for Change and State Representative Camille Lilly, who sponsored, along with Senator Maddie Hunter, the State Racial Impact Note Act a year ago today, catching up on how it's going. We'll continue this conversation with them right after this break.
More of The Morning Show with Rufus Williams coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Keep your eyes on the road and both hands on the steering wheel. Not be held responsible for any accidents. It's the WVON Morning Show with Rufus Williams on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Green Cruzat. She is the president of the Children's Advocates for Change, and State Representative Camille Lilly, who, along with Senator Maddie Hunter, authored the racial impact notes a year ago today. We have a caller who has a question about our conversation. She's an elder. Good morning and welcome to VON. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. I listen regularly, and I'm very interested in the legislation and the wording in the legislation. It concerned me when I heard that all of the legislators agreed and voted yay on that bill, because that concerned me, because I think many times we often look at statistics and see that Black Americans are on the very bottom of everything, education, jobs, employment. I mean, we're just at the bottom, health. And then I hear the word black and brown, and black and brown is not Black American, and I think it's very important for us to use the words in those bills that give the aid where it is needed. So I would like a response, because I talk with my legislators about this all the time. It's very important to have the wording as it should be.
Thank you very much for that. Representative, you want to respond to that?
I will. And thank you for your question and your engagement and your thought process. And what I really meant was all of the Democrats voted for this piece of legislation. The Republicans struggle with helping all individuals here, I think, across our great nation. So let me correct myself in that regard. It is important that you know that the 74 Democrats in the House saw that this is important. And the terminology that I used on today was minorities,
And we know that there's a difference in all the needs in all these different minority groups. And I do say constantly African Americans have needs that are different from other populations, and they should be addressed. This particular piece of legislation allow us to focus in on the differences and to highlight how we're going to address the communities that have the disparities, that have the poverty, that doesn't give our young people a leg up. And you are absolutely right. We need to express our differences because our communities are different. And we should celebrate the difference, but with the lens of equity and making sure that everyone has access. And that's something that we don't have here in Illinois. We don't even have in our great country. And it is great because we're here making differences today with this piece of legislation. So, ma'am, I truly appreciate your question and your listening to WBN every morning to get this type of insight. So I'm hoping that gave you some indication of belief what's going on in the General Assembly here in Illinois and the Black Caucus wishes for the people of Illinois, meaning those who represent those communities, are working toward.
Look, I love my listeners, and they're smart, and they're engaged, and as she was able to catch that and point it out and help you to clarify it, thank you so much, both of you, for that. Dr. Cruzat, talk about what comes next, and Representative Lilly mentioned looking out for best practices, but as you're continuing to pay attention to how this is being implemented and what's going on, what comes next as it relates to this act?
Thank you, Rufus. So Children's Advocates for Change, we plan to work with lawmakers, we plan to work with our Black Caucus, our Latino Caucus, everyone across the aisle, right, on both sides, to build an equity lens into the state budgeting process. And I think that's very important because we need to examine how our state is using its fiscal resources to eliminate racial and ethnic inequities, or where we might need some additional resources. So it's very important to continue to have this conversation with our folks in Springfield, but it's also very important for Children's Advocates for Change to share its journey, its experience with this whole process. And so we'd like to see every state have a law on its books and create greater opportunities for all children and their families. And so what we're hoping to do is convene other folks who are doing this kind of work to have this conversation, to have further discourse about how we can continue to eliminate these inequities and work towards a better nation.
Appreciate that. This is important work, and we appreciate you doing it. Representative, we appreciate your efforts all the time. Stay on the case. It's important stuff. And look, more AKAs doing more stuff.
And deltas,
AKAs and deltas. There, yeah, keep it going. Love it. Because in fact, there was a couple deltas in the room yesterday too. So thank you, ladies, for coming on and sharing this information with us. Be well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll take this next break.